Hey, hey there, all my beautiful angel besties. Welcome back to the Sip Bittersweet Tea Pod. I'm your host, Lorenz Scott, where we talk about all things bitter and how much we need God's sweetness added. I wanted to start a little differently and not go directly into the word. So let's just chat. Let's be gal pals. Let's just love on one another. I'm going to talk about myself, what I love to do, who I am when no one is around, all the good tea. And not only do I want to speak about who I am and how I got here, I guess I just really want to speak a little bit on my testimony. I mean, I have, but just a little more depth. So I've gotten a little bit of backstory here and there throughout the few podcasts, but I really want to dive into how I got here instead of who I am. You feel me? So I've gone over how I have been in and out of my faith, and I would say that this is the strongest testimony that I have currently. This time around, that I have come to know Jesus as well as allowing people to know my love for Jesus, it is the absolute strongest that I have been. I am relying solely on nothing but God and grace and my faith. I just have had my ups and downs with him. I have treated my faith like, you know, it wasn't important to me or wasn't important enough within my life that I couldn't find time for it. So I just never gave God the time of day. But now, in the season of healing and the season of motherhood and becoming a better wife, I just knew that the problem wasn't everybody else. It was within. I just knew that I needed to finally fall to my knees and ask the Lord for his help, for his healing, his strength, love, grace, and overall his forgiveness. And I was constantly relying on myself. I would try to do it all on my own. And that was for a few years. I didn't know what this truly meant. And now that I'm looking back, I knew that I didn't just need my own forgiveness. I needed God's forgiveness. I needed him in general. It was always him nudging me. You know, those little thoughts you get in your head and you're just like, I don't know, like, I really don't want to do that. To give myself the grace. And I just wasn't feeling like I deserved his love, his grace, or his forgiveness. And now it's been about almost 2 months, maybe even 2 months exactly, that I have been in the season of faithfulness. And it's so different this time around because, you know, I'm like, not afraid to speak openly about my love for him. Whereas in the past, I definitely wouldn't be caught dead talking about God. You know, I was always kind of nervous and shy to talk about him. I didn't want to cause controversy. I didn't want to cause any sort of problems in my friend group because I cared truly, truly about what people thought about me. You know, if I were to talk about God, then it would have to truly take everything out of me to say that I'm not a selfish person anymore. But I was selfish for years. Even the first time that I did find God, the first time that I was saved, I don't think that I was faithful. I was young. I thought that I was healed though, because I was saved. I thought that if I prayed 5 minutes before bed, that's all I needed. But all I do now, literally throughout my day, is yes, I still do things for myself. I go to work, I'm a mother, and I'm a really good mother at that. You know, I'm able to point things out like that nowadays. I have confidence. God has given me confidence. I have confidence. And it's different. It's not selfish confidence. It's, wow, like, I finally understand why we're perfectly made in his image. You know, I'm a good wife. I'm an amazing wife, and I wasn't able to point that out before. I would always be really hesitant saying, like, I'm a good wife. But, you know, alongside these things, my responsibilities, I'm able to, you know, take the time out of my day to do the things that I love to do when it's just me, by myself as a woman, as a human, simply as Loren. And if you can hear my husband talking, I don't know if you can, but he found out that he really, really likes World of Warcraft, and he's been talking about it nonstop for the last 2 days. And I don't know, he's just, he's a nerd, like he's my nerd, and I love him, and we're both nerds, and it's so cute. And also, like, before I get into it, I am so thankful to the Lord. I just want to take some time to thank him. How grateful I am that I am able to, you know, like, be at work, in my career, what I am truly passionate about, what I went to school for. Like, I am finally doing it, and it feels amazing. It feels really great. You know, a lot of people don't have that opportunity, and I just pray for them. I pray that they talk to God more, you know, that they find any sort of, you know, venturing out, seeing what they like, what they dislike, and, you know, like, healing through any trauma that's keeping them from getting to their goals. And maybe it's like, you have to go to work in order to pay for your schooling. That's just things that we have to do. We have to sacrifice a lot. Jesus sacrificed a lot, and he didn't want to do these things. You know, he's human. We're all human. We're not perfect, and we have to do these things, but we'll get them done. We'll, you know, like, we'll thank God at the end of it. And it was definitely a long journey. I definitely needed to do soul searching, and my testimony is so much more powerful because I had to literally break down my walls, my barriers, in order to meet, or God met me. I didn't meet him. If I did, I probably would have been in my career a long time ago. He met me in my deepest, darkest place. And, you know, like, all the healing that's been happening, it's definitely blossoming. I'm growing, and I know that whoever's listening to this, you are so capable of so much. And I pray that you find this level of healing, level of understanding, level of love for God that I found. Because it's truly amazing. And I'm praying for you, girl. I'm rooting for you. So back to me. I love a really good thrift outing, whether it be with my girls or my mama or myself. I tend to go alone most of the time, though, and I absolutely love that peace and quiet time, especially being a mom. And now that I'm a teacher, oof, a good thrift outing by myself sounds really good right now. You know, I'm able to connect with myself on a deeper and more personal level. I usually listen to Girls Gone Bible or just like really good Christian podcasts or worship music so that I can just, you know, feel serene, feel that extra. I'm not alone. I'm comforted by the Lord. I'm wearing my, you know, my armor of faith. I'm definitely like, I'm at peace at that moment. You know, I know my style, whether it be I'm looking for clothes or I'm simply looking for a new book. And usually I look out for ones that truly speak to me. The one that I need right then in that moment to help heal my soul. And if you haven't done this, just quiet your mind, whatever helps you get to that peacefulness that you need, go to a good thrift store. Or even a bookstore. Just look around for however long you feel. And if you feel like some gut feeling, it's always going to be God leading you or speaking to you about, hey, you need to read this. Whether it's like self-improvement or it's to help you learn something. It's like a knowledge building history lesson, whatever it may be, you know? And I have always been into reading. I've always been into writing. So it's like really hard for me to hear God sometimes unless I'm reading or writing something down. I literally write down everything I'm saying, or at least going to say, like an outline for my podcast. Like I'm literally reading right now. And I've always been better at writing when it comes to expressing myself. But that's a gift that came from God, so I'm going to use it. No doubt. I love Jesus, and I started this podcast to ensure that I was actually learning more about God this time around. And I'm getting so close to Him. I feel Him like every day. And when you're new to your faith, it feels like a really overwhelming and beautiful fresh of air. You feel so warm, and like a massive part of your heart is back. Because usually when we find Jesus later in life, it's because we feel empty, and whatever that looks like for you. I believe that I could share how much I was so anxious after I stopped feeling that feeling. You know, I wanted to let you know that once you're so invested in the Word, invested in the Holy Spirit, you don't ever stop loving Him, and He doesn't leave you. But it felt like He left me, and that's why it was so easy to walk away. But once His work of trying to break down your barriers in order for us to love Him, He steps away in order to test our faith and see if it falters. And my faith definitely fell away when I didn't feel His presence. Like, everything became offensive. I took offense to literally everything. And all I ever wanted to know how to do was, how do I defend my offended heart? Everyone gets defensive. Everyone gets defended. It's just human nature. It's the feelings that you get, you know? I've become so envious and so jealous. And one of the main sources of my anger was being persuaded by the devil that I need to become selfish. You know, the best way to stay selfish is to find offenses that someone has done to you, through you, for you, and just not being able to look past it or give grace to that person. So, like, it hinders that love for people that Jesus wants us to have and to practice every single day. But I feel Him when I'm reading the Bible, or even a book based on faith, or I'm listening to a faith-based podcast. But now it's even more so when I'm making a podcast myself, which is so amazing, because I hold myself accountable now, and I'm so grateful, and I just love my life now. And it's so crazy for me to like hear myself say that, because I was so depressed and very much that girl that's like, I hate my life, it's never gonna get better. And that right there would literally push people away. They didn't want to be around me, even if I didn't say it around them. But I know how to stay on track and chasing gospel, even when it feels like He isn't here. I know He isn't leaving just because I'm faithful now, though. So that's what's different this time around. So I love reading anything, honestly. I love writing poetry. I believe these are my true gifts. They are my passions and always have been. They allow me to escape reality if need be. And I feel like if you have this, you need to do it. Whatever it is, whatever that looks like for you. I love being a mother, and I want to fill my home with a lot of children. I want to teach children, and I'm doing that now. But I didn't know that growing up. I knew I wanted to help people. And what better way to help people if it isn't helping the smallest of people, you know, starting young? So yeah, that's my biggest testimony right now. I'm still finishing it up. I want to alter it over the years, see how much it changes, how much I've grown. But yeah, I just wanted to share that with you, and hopefully you grab some inspiration from that. So, sorry, my throat is getting really dry. I'm so, like, so into this right now. Okay, so I've been recently in the book of Job, and man, it went down the wrong pipe. I'm so sorry. Man, did God pull a number on this poor guy. Like, he literally was so faithful and so loyal to God. Like, he even made sure to pray for his children's sins and did everything by the book. I swear to you, this man was literally walking like Jesus. He did no wrong and always made sure to give thanks to the Lord because he knew everything was from him. If you don't know about Job, I'll give you a little breakdown, but I highly encourage this book, especially when you're feeling a little, my heart is so offended right now. Why does everything happen to me? I'm such a good person. Because literally, if Job were here, he would say, same. Like, I feel for this man. I'm reading, you know, he's going back and forth with his friends. He's like, how could he have done this to me? And he had no way of knowing that Satan was the one behind what happened. So basically, Job was the perfect embodiment of what a follower of God is. He had his servants, he had children and animals on his land tending to his property. He had, like, you know, livestock and just everything. And in a blink of an eye, it was all gone. Satan wanted to test Job's love for God. So Satan, you know, ran up to God, like, and literally said, if he's so faithful, take this away, and I'm sure that he'll swear, or, like, he'll curse your name, he'll turn against you, he'll run the other direction away from you, Lord. So God said, okay, why don't you do it? And literally back to back to back, like, second after second, he was, servants came to him. I'm the one that got away. But all of your servants have died, or your animal, like, fire came down and, like, you know, destroyed the land and all your livestock and your animals are dead. And it was just, like, back to back. And I was like, oh my gosh, this poor guy. You know, but Job still chose God after everything that had happened. You know, he cried out. He was confused, like a natural human instinct. He said things like in Job 9:14-19 or Job 9:21-24, I am innocent, but it makes no difference to me. I despise myself. Innocent or wicked, it is all the same to God. That's why I say he destroys both the wicked and the blameless. To me, these are all valid human responses. But if we keep living in this victim mindset and keep our offensive goggles on, we'll never see the good in life. We'll live in past hurts and unresolved traumas, looking for other people to blame. And this brings me to the podcast title, Pride and Prejudice. So we can try and be original. Everyone wants to be themselves and have their own story and go through their own things. But truth is, our ancestors and their ancestors, generations and generations, since the beginning of time, really, we have all been through the same thing. Like, the Bible talks about us being offended. It was always meant to happen, though we ask, why God? Why me? We say things like this always happened, only me. And none of what I say is original, but I want to always emphasize my experience as well as God's word and how good it is, how good Jesus always is, time and time again. When we need something or someone to turn to, it better be God, because he is so good to us and will always love us and protect us as long as we stay faithful. As long as we stay humble and ask for his help and his strength and his forgiveness. You know, it's literally a lie. It's all lies from the enemy himself. When we keep ourselves in the victim mindset. When we keep becoming offended and blaming people and attacking people. And guess what? Now that makes us in the devil's captivity. It's so much easier to be persuaded. We're imprisoned by evil. And we're going to choose the fight or flight response because we don't want to take any accountability for ourselves. And this statement right here directly connects with my first podcast. Mental health is definitely from Satan. It's definitely evil. It's something that keeps us in the victim mindset. It's how we survive because we become so used to getting treated a certain way. Like, we literally get spoiled, and mental illness is such a sponge that it keeps absorbing more and more negative and evil that it's hard to snap ourselves out of it. It's this never-ending cycle, so of course we stay easily offended. Luke 17:1. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will always be temptations to sin. What sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting." This is such a great verse to live by and remember. The world offers us so much opportunity to sin. But we always have to look past what people have done and love and live by the word. Ecclesiastes 1:9-11 says, "What has happened before will happen again. What has been done before will be done again. There is nothing new in the whole world." Look, they say, here is something new. But no, it has all happened before, long before we were born. No one remembers what has happened in the past, and no one in days to come will remember what happens between now and then. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." For me, I hold on to someone's offenses against me for a very long time. It hasn't happened in a really long time, but it's so easy to get stuck in that mindset and judge people and, you know, like, want to attack and want to defend yourself, and it's just so easy to get stuck there. But it's not God wanting you to be stuck there, so who else? It's literally so obvious. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." If you choose love over, you know, someone's sin against you, like what they said about you, if they're judging you, it's literally just, it's going to change your life if you're able to rewire your brain into thinking, "I'm going to remain positive. I'm going to be the bigger person. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to pray for their healing. I'm going to keep moving." If you keep moving, then what will offend you? Don't fret on what people say about you. Just because what they're going through is hard and rough, it doesn't mean that they get to place their burdens on you. And it happens. And you really can't change it. And you can't tell them what to do or say. So you just got to take the high road. Keep going. Matthew 5:38-39. "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." So you always have to be willing to be the bigger person. It's so hard. but it's not impossible. God can literally do the impossible, and that's why we need him. Especially if someone is throwing our offenses in our face and expecting us to react. And it's so easy to react and think, I have been mistreated. I'm literally innocent and I will hold back my forgiveness. Girl, pick up your cross and keep on moving. These people who are hurting us, they are obviously hurting. Two wrongs don't make a right. Matthew 18:7 says, what sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? I think I already said this. Oh wait, no. Matthew 18:7 and Luke 17:1 are literally the exact same. So that's amazing. You get to learn it. It probably is said somewhere else. It's probably mentioned so many other times in different wording, and oh, it's amazing. God is amazing. Amen. Matthew 18:21-22 says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? I don't know why I cut off, but I know the Lord says 77 times. It doesn't matter how many times they're sinning against you, how much they're putting you down. As long as you love on them like Jesus loved the world so much that he died for us. It's incredible to see that much faith in someone. We need to set the example, you know. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. This Bible verse is about love. Like, that love is healing and should bring people together. Love literally is medicine. What blinds us so often is allowing ourselves to become offended by someone and judge them based on past wrongdoings. And the last verse I wrote down was Proverbs 19:11. It says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. You know, it isn't up to ourselves to be strong enough and solve all of our own problems, because that is usually when we give up. Like, we literally look to ourselves to be the bigger person, but we don't want to look to the biggest person, which is the Lord Jesus. When in moments of anger, despair, hardship, when we're when we are arguing with someone and we can't hold our own tongues, we can always calm ourselves down when we can pray. When we have someone to turn to, someone who can hold on to our burdens and hold our tongues for us. You know, God says we can't remain offended nor keep score of the wrong someone has done against us. We only have the control of our own words. So why fight with someone when they don't want to change their tone or their words? You know, why fight with someone who keeps wronging us and they're not learning? Even if we're setting boundaries and they're still doing it. That's silly. You know, it's about how we respond and react. It's up to us, you know, to remain faithful to ourselves and be a good person. But most importantly, it's up to us to remain faithful to God. Because his opinion is the only one that matters. It's up to us to remain faithful and remain in the Word, especially during the troubling times when we feel lost and we don't feel like we have the answers. Especially when we're looking to place blame on someone. You know, we learn in the Bible, literally time and time again, to forgive others because Jesus forgave, and he gave grace and love and acceptance. Not being able to look past someone's offenses against us is like saying, hey, I don't forgive you even if you forgave me. You know, that's just not fair. And we have to be willing to love on someone, even if they are hard to be around, or if they've proven to us that they're hurt and they don't know salvation yet. Because ultimately, that's what it is. They don't know salvation yet. And they will. I mean, hopefully. We want to be able to represent God's unfailing and unconditional love, right? But if we're holding a grudge and picking arguments with people who have wronged us, was it proving to people that we have unfailing love and that God is our Savior? If He's the Prince of Peace, like, is that how our actions are? Is that proving to people that? We have to be willing to walk in Jesus' footsteps. You know, He was so pure and so clean. He was the light in even the ones who didn't believe in Him. He chose God's will over who people thought He was. When we choose to become offended, it's like throwing out God's word. It's like saying God's love is not real. You know, we can't live one way, and when it comes to someone offending us, we choose evil. We choose violence. So often for me, I become offended, and immediately I become angry and find ways to place blame or continue to feel angry and attack. I fight and sometimes I flight. Becoming offended truly keeps us separated from God's kingdom. You know, becoming offended is an act of selfishness. Sorry to break it to you, honey. One of the main ways the enemy wants to derail our relationship with God and our salvation through Him, we have to be willing to be selfish enough to let offense take hold of our lives. Becoming offended can make anyone angry, can make anyone envious, can make anyone jealous, and we end up attacking, insulting, and ending marriages and ending friendships, or we revert back to who we were that we worked too hard to grow from. The reason I believe it's selfish to become offended is because we live in a society where we look out for ourselves. That's sad. The reason why fight or flight is such a common and mutual thing we share in common with people. The reason it is such a hot topic is because it's here. We choose to be really close to people by choice or by blood. And the closer we are to people, the easier it is to become more offended by them and what they do or say. You know, we love them so much. And there are times where we put these people on pedestals, especially if we don't have a close relationship with God. Sorry, boo. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. You know, I used to want to have as many friends as I could. Or I would be such a people pleaser where I would idolize, or I would put my friends on pedestals. And when they hurt me, it was really heartbreaking. It felt like that was it. That was the end of the world. You know, there are people who have been offended, and there are people who need someone or something to blame, so they act like they have reason to be offended. All of this has to do with the ego and holding pride in our hearts where grace should be. One, how do we steer clear from entering a state of feeling offended, whether we have been or not? Two, how do we not hold pride in our minds? And three, what does it look like to live a life that isn't led by God, but by our own ego? So one, we steer clear from feeling offended by remaining in God's law. We pray, we choose grace, patience, humility, forgiveness, compassion, and kindness every single day, no matter how hard it truly gets. We become so familiarized with what God said and who He was and how He had sent Jesus, and we become familiar with what He did and what He continues to do for us all day long. We never lose hope because we have so much to be grateful for. The enemy wants to capture us and all of our joys and our freedoms. Two, what is pride? According to what I've typed in Google, It's the feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those with whom one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Basically, we selfish. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. We're selfish and we don't want to be bothered by how we're feeling, so we repress it. You know, I got really freaking good at bottling up my emotions in a tiny little bottle. I got so good that it would later on explode if there was no more room in that tiny little bottle. 3. What is ego and how do we not let it run our lives? For starters, stop letting anyone else run your life and not God. Simple. He is your father and wants what is best for you. He cares for you deeply. You know, he wants nothing but the best for you. He wouldn't want us to fail, ever. And when we do fail, it's because we're trusting our ego and overestimating our worth and underestimating our efforts in order to achieve our goals. And we don't even realize that we're stuck in this pattern. You know, we're so in denial. And the easiest things to do are get offended, get angry, and place blame on everyone else but yourself. Both the pride and the ego will say, I have every right to feel this way and speak a certain way and act a certain way because I am the victim. Girl, sit down. You need to sit on your knees and pray and repent. Shame on you. Shame on all of us for not realizing the devil's plots and schemes. For not picking up our cross and bettering ourselves. But because of this realization, we can better ourselves. You know, we can better understand that we truly need our Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We have our Lord and Savior forever. And all we have to do is repent and remain in the Word and be kind to others and be humble. Acts 24:16 says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscious void of offense toward God and toward men. You know, who are we kidding if we are running to the victim mindset? When do we learn? When are we going to break the habit? When do we grow up if we continually do this? We can't do this alone. I've been saying this in almost every podcast. We can't rely on our own strength, but we can do all things through Christ. For we know how bitter life can be and how much sweeter Jesus makes it. Amen. All right, thank you for tuning into my new podcast. Keep an eye out on any updates on my new one. Follow me on Instagram. I'll leave a link in the description. Thank you so much for listening, and I really hope that you enjoyed it, and I appreciate all of your love and support. All right, peace be with you.